This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking with Tom Goom about persistent injuries and how to cure them.
He's back.
He is. He's our trusted physio, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. And feedback from you guys listening has been that you've been enjoying it. So that's also very helpful. So thanks for letting us know that injuries what you enjoy hearing about.
They're a hot topic.
And they always will be.
Yeah.
Especially if they're persistent.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I've got, this is kind of to do with injury, but this is a new study, scientific study. Actually, is it a study? It's someone's opinion.
that's very different.
That's different, isn't it? And this was looking at how many pairs of shoes do you need in your running closet?
Okay.
Which is obviously a controversial.
Was it written by the head of sales for Nike?
No, it wasn't actually. Oh, it was written by a biomechanics specialist and book author, Jay Dickery.
Well, he'll know. That's good.
Who knows? Right. I think his book was called Running Rewired, and he's very knowledgeable about this stuff. And he was speaking about this, and he said that essentially you probably need three shoes in your running quiver, which is a great phrase.
That's nice.
And he looks at the first of these shoes should be a cushion trainer, the solid, dependable, and unsung hero of the shoe quiver.
Mm-hmm.
And Dickery does not count super shoes with an embedded plate in this category. We'll go on to that. The second shoe is the barefoot minimalist shoe. And Dickery admits that these have fallen out of fashion in recent years, apart from with me. But why he thinks that they've got a good place is that the lack of padding compels your lower leg to work harder in these cushioned shoes.
Okay.
Cues your body to build stronger bones, muscles, tendons, and durability in your feet. Importantly, you shouldn't be running fast in these minimalist shoes, but you wear them mainly for walking and slow running.
I agree with that. I have my walking boots are Avivo ones.
Yep.
And I do a lot of walking around in them. Out on the trails, and they're great.
I think honestly, they're more of a walking thing than they are a running thing for most people, aren't they? And the third, and this is kind of only if you're into racing. This is Dickery's view on this. It should be a kind of race shoe. You should use them to train maybe intervals, short tempo runs, and on race day. He's a little sceptical on super shoes. Believes that they're mainly beneficial to the kind of people you see winning world marathon majors. Don't often work as well for sort of heavier, slower runners. And for that reason, he thinks that maybe you should break them in a bit, those shoes, but you shouldn't do a lot of your training, a lot of your miles in super shoes. I liked it because it's difficult to sort of say how many pairs of shoes we should have. I feel like you and I have to be very careful with those kind of conversations because we are lucky enough to get shoes for free.
We do. We get a lot of review pairs. But I'll caveat that by saying not all of them are good.
No, that's right. And you kind of think, well, what the average person listening, like, how many pairs of shoes should you have? I think, you know, like one pair of shoes is all you need. But there's this argument for three that stacks up for me, which is your kind of dependable one, something very different, and then a racing shoe.
I think that all of those sorts of things depend on how serious you want to be with your running.
Yeah.
I think most people easily will just get by with one pair of shoes. The comfort's key, right? The comfort's the most important thing. If you've got a comfortable pair of shoes, you will go running and you'll enjoy it. If they're uncomfortable, you won't. And you'll probably stop and go, well, running's terrible. These shoes are rubbish. Yeah. So that's like the first thing. Number one, you get into running, you find a comfortable pair of shoes and you keep going. And then you probably progress into that. I want a faster pair of shoes for my training and my intervals and my racing because you just started. Yeah. And that makes total sense. And make sure that you, again, comfort's there, but you want it to feel like you're going to run your best.
Yeah.
And then that third one, that's more of a lifestyle, I think, a thing where you suddenly go, running is so important to you that you want to make sure
those you look after your feet,
those extra steps that you take like the most beneficial. And and I mean, it's not just running. There's a lot to be said for that sort of proprioception, reduced, you know, increased proprioception, so that you have more contact with the ground and your feet are working as they sort of, you know, in our evolution as upright people.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff is all ticked off and
all
those sorts of things. So yeah, I can see the complete logic behind it. Yeah.
The phrase I like was he sort of talks about having radically different pairs of shoes, which I think is good, right? Because probably being there where you're like, oh, I've got a shoe that's, and it's like, this is kind of the same shoe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
Actually, if you probably need shoes, if you're going to do a rotation, they should be quite different pairs of shoes, possibly.
I think so. And there's always that chat that if people become incredibly loyal to one type of brand or one type of shoe, and they'll run in the Pegasus, probably a great example, that we're on version 40 something now, even of the Pegasus. There'll be people who started running 20 years ago in version 2, and they've just, you know, version 20, and they've just cracked on for 20 years in that shoe. They're probably fine, like, you know, but if they've ever had an injury, or they've ever had a sort of like a, if it's made no difference to their running, then great. But sometimes variety,
agreed,
will change your gait a bit, will adjust, target different muscles, does it makes you work in a different way, which is all good for you, like, to do.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little bit of science.
It was an opinion, wasn't it?
It was an opinion, so I'm confused. It's a bit of science. You know who the best runner in the world is?
Come on. People don't want facts anymore, Rick.
Yeah, you'd be right. We're in a kind of post-truth world, aren't we?
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, that's a different podcast. Let's bring on our guest of the week. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown. Our guest this week is a leading running physio working out of Body Rehab Studios in Hove. Here to talk more about persistent injuries and hopefully how to cure them, it's Tom Goom. Welcome to the Runners World Podcast, or welcome back to the Runners World Podcast, Tom.
Thanks for having me again.
We're going to talk persistent running injuries today. So we've been very focused so far in our like chats, but this one might be a bit more general in the sort of what is a persistent injury, how are people dealing with them, how should they deal with them. So to start with, Tom, how do you define a persistent running injury?
So it's usually one that doesn't recover and allow the person to return to their running in the kind of expected time frame. Now that time frame will vary from injury to injury, but most people are back doing fairly well within 2 or 3 months after a running injury. So if they're kind of outside that time frame, they're not able to get back into running, they're still having symptoms, that's where we start to think, okay, it's moving into that more persistent injury category.
Is that like a, then just becomes more of a life injury?
Yeah, I like that phrase, actually, kind of a life injury. Yeah, because quite often when you're working with someone who has a persistent running injury, you do need to look at the bigger picture, the life stuff. So it's a bit more about thinking about that whole person and not just focusing on one part of them, which is being, you know, in pain at the moment. It's thinking about their overall needs. So general health, sleep, stress, mental well-being all starts to play into it when we're getting into those kind of persistent injury territories. And, you know, as runners, you know, we love running. It gives us so much. So if you can't run for 2 or 3 months, that starts to have a big impact on you, which actually starts to affect the recovery as well.
Give us a sense, Tom, of a persistent injury or some persistent injuries that you've seen in clinic in terms of, I guess, running-related ones.
So I see almost mainly persistent running injuries. Lots of people who will have tried other healthcare professionals. Quite commonly, they might have had that injury for, you know, 1 or 2 years, sometimes more. They might not have been able to run at all in that time period. And most often they've tried the return to running process several times. And each time they've done it, it's irritated their symptoms. So they've had to stop. So they're coming to see me to say, like, I've tried all this other stuff. It hasn't really worked. I still can't run. What can I do? How do I get back?
And what do you say, Tom? What's your approach with someone like that?
Well, we always have got to start with a good assessment to find out what their rehab needs are. But there's often positive news in that first session. Most people, if we you know, have the right plan and we give it enough time, most people can get back successfully to running. But we need to be realistic with it. There aren't any quick fixes for these persistent injuries. There's no kind of magic cure. So quite often we're looking at a good 3 to 12 months sometimes of really good rehab, of gradually coming back into running and getting their body used to it again.
Is there a physical predisposition that might mean you're more, or certainly some runners are more susceptible to recurring injury?
Yeah, so there's lots of individual factors that can play a role. So things like age, our bodies don't tend to recover quite as quickly as we get older. So that can play a role. General health and other medical history, things like diabetes affect how quickly we heal. The stage we're at in our life. So women, as they're approaching the menopause, for example, seem to be in a stage in their life where they're more likely to pick up these overuse injuries. But also things like mental health plays a huge role. So stress is thought to delay healing. And actually, some recent research found that runners with high levels of anxiety, I think they took on average 3 months longer to recover than those with low levels of anxiety. So there's lots of these things that feed into this injury and perhaps, result in it becoming more persistent.
What about, and I feel like there are lots of runners, probably some listening in, who maybe attempted to, like, they've either been in denial about their injury or they've tried to run it off. And I feel like that's maybe how chronic or persistent injuries can occur. Has that been your experience as well?
Yes. Yeah. So you will have some people that just want to grit their teeth and push on through. And in that situation, actually, they will still be running most often, but they'll be running with pain. Sometimes really quite significant symptoms. It will take them quite a long time to recover after a run. So in that type of patient, we're looking at trying to modify that running to a manageable level. We'll always keep people running if it's safe to do so, but we'll be looking for a level that they can cope with. What's probably a little bit more common to see, though, is the opposite. So people have had pain, so they've stopped running altogether, often because they're worried they're going to be damaging something. Mm. And they might stop running for months and months and months. And because the body becomes deconditioned, it's no longer used to running. When they try again, they'll often go back and start at 3 or 4K. It'll flare their symptoms up and they're back to sort of, they feel like they're back to sort of square one again, really.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
That's really interesting. So that sort of, that hurt, I need to stop, is always the advice that people get, because obviously pain is a great indicator of something not being right. But at the same time, that's when you seek advice, because there's a crossing over point where you're going to undo some of the good that running brings.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the best way to build up your ability to run is through running. Mm. It's why, really, wherever we can, if a runner comes to us with an injury, we'll try and keep them running if it's safe to do so, because it keeps them conditioned to running. And often the longer someone comes out of running, the longer they take a break, the longer it takes to come back, and people pick up secondary injuries because their body's not used to it. They start to get aches and pains in other parts as they try and build their running back up again.
In that period then, when someone has got a persistent injury, is it paramount that that's the time that they focus on strength and conditioning or other rehab things, so that return back to running is as simple as can be?
Yes. I mean, that's where it really is always going to start, with a good assessment from, whichever health professional they choose to see, to try and work out what is this person's actual rehab needs. So sometimes actually they may still have quite a lot of symptoms, so we might need to calm those symptoms down. In many cases, because they've not been running, they'll have lost things like strength, control of movement or flexibility. So we'll have a rehab period to address that. And we'll also want to try and get their tolerance of weight-bearing exercise up. So we might be encouraging them to walk more or to use a cross trainer or other weight-bearing exercise in the gym, and then start to introduce a little bit of light impact. It's all preparing them for that return to running process.
Is there any case, Tom, where someone's kind of just got a bit unlucky with what their body's like, and they're just stuck with a kind of minor injury, and it's actually... it's not going to go away properly, but there's maybe a way of managing the pain and carrying on running with a kind of, you know, 3 out of 10 pain. And that's actually the best case scenario.
Yeah. And sometimes that is true. Occasionally we'll work with someone and they'll have tried absolutely everything that you can think of to completely eliminate the pain, and it hasn't gone. So they're almost then left with a choice. Do they get back into the activity they want to do, as in running, but have some discomfort that they manage, or do they not do it at all? And most people will choose to get back into that activity. So that can happen. And actually people can successfully get back to running and enjoy their running and just manage that, that lower level discomfort. We'll always try and get rid of it, but I think it's okay. It's down to that individual runner. If that's okay with them, then that's okay with me.
I'm intrigued about this. Touching upon the stress element that you talked about, and how is it, you know, as when you're treating someone on who has a persistent injury and you're dealing with them over a long period of time, and as I mean, you and Mirek have both been through phases where you can't run, and the impact is significant. And as you say, I think that you can get stuck in a bit of a cycle where the injury isn't going away, so the stress increases, and you get more concerned about what's happening. I mean, obviously you deal a lot with the physical and how people are going to be moving and all that sort of stuff, but you must receive and have to be able to advise on the stress side, the mental health side of it. What does that look like?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think if I'm concerned or someone is saying they're concerned about their mental well-being, we've always got to get them the right help. So I'll often ask them to book an appointment with their GP, maybe speak to a counsellor. Lots of counsellors actually do free sort of 15-minute consultations as a way for that person to find out if that's something that might help them. So I think you've got to involve the right people. There's lots of good online resources, like the Mental Health Foundation website has got a lot of really good resources, things like relaxation, mindfulness, lifestyle tips, things like that. Because quite a lot of runners that struggle actually perhaps have learned to rely on running as their coping strategy, and when it goes, they're really struggling. So if they can learn other ways to, you know, to manage their mood and stress, then definitely that will help. And then from my point of view, what I want to help them stay positive. I want to deal with their concerns, make sure that I can support them with that, and then start to create a bit of a plan with their goals in there so that they can see progress and they can see they are actually working back towards where they want to be.
Can you give us like a real world example, Tom, someone who maybe came to you with a persistent injury, who maybe didn't think they could run, and you got them back to where they were running regularly.
Or even better,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had people that have had, for example, things like a meniscal tear in the knee, and they've tried a couple of years of rehab. They've been to see a consultant who said, look, I'm sorry, that's it for you now. You can't run. And they've come to us and said, well, actually, it's my choice. I want to run. And, you know, there's people there that haven't run for a couple of years, and we've worked on their strength, and then we've started to introduce some light impact. And often that will look like things like skipping or jogging on the spot and gradually building up the time. So I often try and see, once they're strong enough, we start to add some light impact and we build it up to about 3 minutes altogether, because that's when we then can do a test run of about 3 minutes. So that's one of my favorite things that I do as a physio, is I usually, if I can, I go out with the patient and do the test run with them. So we run around Hove, where our clinic is, because it gives them that confidence of having someone with them. And we've seen people do that. They've gone from not running for 2 years to doing some rehab, doing a test run, and then building from 3 minutes to 30 minutes to half marathon to full marathon. So absolutely, we do see that happen. But the time scale there is the thing to bear in mind. This is not going to happen in a couple of weeks. It's going to be months and teaming up and working together.
That must be incredibly satisfying.
Yeah.
As someone taking someone and knowing, as yourself as a runner, knowing fully well the sort of implications of being able to move again and do that thing. That must be very satisfying.
Oh, it's the best thing ever. It's the best thing about my job. When you get a photograph of someone with their medal at the finish line of a marathon, and you've been involved in helping them to get there, it is honestly the best thing ever. And those stories then become inspirations for other patients when they see actually it can be done. And I think probably one of the most key things to get right is that return to running process. That's the thing where most people find that they struggle.
This is the Runner's World podcast. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You mentioned there that some people might come to clinic with a previous diagnosis, either from a GP or a surgeon or a consultant, where, again, me and Rick, we've both had this. We've both had meniscal damage in our knees. Mm. Yours was more significant in the fact that yours was locking your knee slightly more than mine. Mine wasn't actually impacting the function of my knee.
You sure, yeah.
We were both obviously told to have surgery immediately because that's the sort of the initial route. I didn't, you did.
Yeah.
And we've both continued to run and got better with these different things. Yeah. So I think it's that persistent injury thing is very much dependent on perhaps getting the right advice at the right time.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely agree. Yeah.
And I think that must be one of the things that you probably want to just scream and shout from the rooftops on occasions, like, please just come and get advice on this thing that you need. Like, how do people find the right practitioner or the right advice? What if they've got this persistent thing? What's your go-to sort of strategy there?
I think it's good to talk to other runners, particularly other runners that have had similar injuries and done well, and find out who they've seen. Mm. Now, if there's someone local to you that actually sees a lot of runners, and maybe that's a bit of their specialty, they're generally going to have a bit more experience with the whole process than someone who doesn't really see runners and perhaps isn't so confident. Typically, the physios, the health professionals that who specialize in running injury are usually runners as well. So I think that often helps you kind of understand the needs of the sport. But you're totally right. There's often times where you really think, oh, I wish I'd been able to see you a bit earlier in this process and helped keep you on track.
I remember the most persistent injury I had, Tom, was when I was doing probably most racing. I was doing quite a bit of like workouts on the track, and it was an ankle thing. It's the outside of my ankle, below the ankle bone, if that makes sense, on the kind of sort of outside of my left heel. And I just would not stop running. So I would not stop running and racing. I was like, if I stop for 2 weeks, I'm going to be less fit than the guy I'm trying to beat in the running club.
Yeah. Was the pain for you?
It got better. It was like a sharp pain that was really bad for about the first 2 or 3 minutes of a run, and it would mostly go away. But then it would be really bad again afterwards. And it really started to impact the joy, because I think that's the other thing about persistent injuries, like chronic pain. Can we take the joy out of activity? Yeah. But I just wouldn't stop. And I definitely hit a bit of a plateau of it, because I couldn't actually run that well by the end.
Well, that's probably raises a really good point, that the persistent injury stuff will be ultimately detrimental to any performance that you're going to to get.
I think so.
Running through these things only gets you to a certain point. Mm. And even as you were racing regularly, your performance does, because pain is such an inhibitor.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. Anyone who's probably run with pain and then not run with pain will really notice.
Yeah, and honestly, it was the joy thing was massive. I remember finishing a race with a mate of mine, and I was like, almost every step of this race has been painful, and I need to actually now stop it. But it took a long time, and actually just going away from the track for 2 or 3 months, I was suddenly pain-free. And I actually thought at that point that I was probably always going to be a bit in pain running. Is this a familiar story to you, Tom? Do you have, and what advice would you give to someone who was like me, if, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, who just won't actually stop and try to get over a persistent injury through fear of like losing fitness?
Yeah, I mean, so common. I mean, first thing, you've got to understand that. It's, you know, you obviously love your running. You're trying to be at your best. Completely understandable that you don't want to stop. So, you know, it should never be about us health professionals kind of lecturing and waving our finger and telling people off. It's more about helping you to sort of come up with a plan that's going to be a bit better for you so you can enjoy the running without so much pain. So usually in that situation, what I would be doing is discussing with you about the running to find out what's manageable for that. It sounds quite like a tendon problem because you get that pain at the beginning that gets better, which tendons often do when they warm up,
right?
And then the delayed reaction afterwards. So it sounds like it may well have been a tendon issue, maybe one of the lateral ankle tendons, peroneals, perhaps something like that. But so we'd be looking to find out what is a manageable amount and intensity of running that doesn't stir it up and lead to pain the next day. So that would be our first step. Now, if we can find that manageable amount, that will reduce irritation on the tendon and it'll start to settle. But because you're keen on maintaining performance, we'd look for cross-training options with very low tendon load. So, for example, cycling. You could do some quite tough work on a bike, and it's pretty unlikely to irritate the tendon around the outside of the foot, especially if we play around with the setup a little bit. So we might be able to maintain that performance by using the cross training and reduce the tendon irritation by modifying the running itself. There's other things we'd look at there, maybe around footwear, around your strength and conditioning needs, addressing, you know, the strength around the foot and ankle, all those types of things. But I would try, if I could, to keep you running at a manageable level. If you're really struggling to do any running, even 2 or 3 minutes stirs it up for a day or two afterwards, that tells us it's too irritable. So instead, we're going to focus on calming it down for a couple of weeks, and that would mean a break, but we keep the break as short as we can so we don't get the deconditioning. So it's a little bit of science, a little bit of art with it, really, to try and find the right level.
And I guess this applies to all injuries. So it's kind of, it's very difficult to break it down to something that's persistent or just generally not getting injured. But is there a difference between keeping prehabbing to stop an injury occurring, as runners should? You know, we want to generally maintain the major muscles or the structures that are reliant on running being strong. Does the same apply to sort of stopping a persistent injury?
Yeah, I think we know there's lots of benefits of potentially doing some strength and conditioning. There is some evidence it might reduce your injury risk, but generally only if people are consistent with it. But I think probably the bigger thing is making sure people's training and recovery is planned and at the right level, because the biggest driver usually is overload. So they're doing too much with their running, they're not having enough recovery and things are getting sore. Now, if that's the case and you say, right, let's throw some strength work into that as well, you may have you run the risk of actually making things worse, because you're fatiguing the runner with strength work on top of training that's already too much. So first step for me is got to be about getting the training at the right level and an adequate recovery. Then once that's in there, then you think, okay, now we might add in some targeted rehab, specific to the person's needs, not sort of a generic X, Y, and Z, you know?
Can we talk quickly about chronic pain, which I know is an extremely complicated subject about which I know not that much. But with something like chronic pain, which I guess we're getting into with persistent injuries, do you have to help people sometimes believe that they're now pain-free? Can that be a challenge?
I think people can sometimes be quite black and white with their goals. So they can, unless they're 100% pain-free, they're not at all better.
Yeah, okay.
And so sometimes you almost have to show them, well, you're running for 5 miles now without any symptoms, whereas before you weren't managing 5 minutes. So you do have to help them to some degree see. But also the pain is a very it's an emotional thing, and there's lots of ways we react to pain. So sometimes we'll catastrophize, which is not a very nice word, but it's a very human thing to do, to really sort of think the worst possible outcome for this pain or injury. And we'll often couple that with rumination. So we'll get really stuck worrying about and thinking about and focusing on the pain, and that's likely to make it a lot worse. And that will happen with these more persistent injuries. So sometimes we're actually having to have conversations around, okay, let's take the focus away from pain here. Let's not keep going into worst case scenarios and getting stuck in your head about it. Let's focus on the strategies that you want to do and getting you back to the thing that you love doing.
That's interesting. What is chronic pain then? I'm thinking in terms of like, what when does something persistent become chronic? Is it the amount of pain that you have all the time? Is that the sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it's not something that has a very specific recognized definition in runners particularly. Chronic usually just means going on beyond the normal expected time frame for that injury, beyond the normal kind of healing process. So if you think, for example, an ankle sprain, we think there's going to be a lot of healing happening in the first 3 months. So if someone's 6 months down the line and still has a lot of pain, we're kind of thinking this is leaning in towards, you know, more chronic or persistent pain. But I don't think the label is actually that necessary or that helpful. It really is just thinking about the needs of the individual.
Yeah.
And as I said, the most important thing is getting the return to running process right. You know, I think if there's one thing I'd like people to take away from this is if we can get that right, it's going to make a big difference. So I would say it's something that people need to plan with their health professional, not just think I'm pain-free, I'll do 5K. It needs to be planned, and it needs to start at a level that's very manageable. So most people, I start at about 3 minutes. And if they've been away from running for a long time, I might be adding a minute or two here and there. Because it's much more important to aim for consistency rather than rush the process and get a flare up. And then you're having to calm things down again, and you get stuck in that what we call boom and bust kind of pattern.
Tom, if people want to find out more about the work that you do, where can they go?
So you can come to my website, which is running-physio.com, or come and say hello. I'm on Instagram, running.physio. Always happy to chat about running injury.
Tom, thanks so much for your time coming on and chatting about persistent running injuries. Always great to get your clarity on these subjects, I think.
Sure is. Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Thanks again for having me.
Thank you. So that brings the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Tom Goom, and to you, of course, for listening.
Subscribe to this podcast, please, if you haven't already. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Googles, all of them. They're there. You can listen to it wherever you want. Also subscribe to Runner's World magazine. Search Runner's World UK subscription. You'll find it on the Hearst Magazine's website. There's probably an incredible introduction offer on there, which you should sign up for if you haven't already. I mean, if you're subscribing again, thanks, but you're not sure how it works with doubling down on offers, but it might not work. Thank you very much for listening. You'll hear from us next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.